just to refresh our minds before we go looking at some other passages of Scripture for a little bit, I just wanted to read the passage in John's Gospel that we've been looking at lately. So if you turn with me to John chapter 3. The events of the conversation with Nicodemus continue, so I thought I'd read from verse 15 down to 21. Let's start in verse 14, sorry. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want us, as we begin today, to note that word, he. He that believeth is not condemned. Salvation and everything about salvation is all personal. It's intimately personal. It's personal between you and God. This is eternal life, that you know him. But here in these verses we have a remarkable description of this world. We have a remarkable description of us in this world. We have a remarkable description of all of God's children in this world. And there is, as you might have noticed as we went through those verses, there's a great dividing, isn't there? There are those that are condemned, and they're condemned already. And there are those that are not condemned. There are those that believe not. And there are those that believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that perish, and those that have everlasting life. There are those that hate, and those that love. There are those that love the darkness, and there are those that love the light. There are those that do evil, and there are those that remarkably do the truth. We won't have time to look at all that this week. But there is obviously a kingdom, isn't there? There is a kingdom of God, and this context, of course, is about seeing the kingdom of God, and seeing the kingdom of God is to see the king of the kingdom. And you can't see unless you're born again. And you can't see unless there's light. But there is another kingdom, isn't there? And it's a remarkable act of the grace of God that he sends light into this world. It's a remarkable act of God personally for you, that God sends light to you. So what's the sin that so easily entangles, according to Hebrews? The sin that so easily entangles is unbelief. Our unbelief is always an unbelief against the light. But unbelief is an absence of a light, isn't it? And it's a sin against the light. And in every situation where we sin, and we sin continually, and we sin against God and God only, and we sin against our brothers and sisters. If you think about every one of those sins, in every situation what is encompassed in those sins is a lack of light, isn't it? We don't see God, we don't see ourselves, and we don't see other people very clearly. And every time we stand in judgment of our brothers and sisters, we're always wrong, because we never know enough, do we? So sin and unbelief and the pain and the hurt that we cause our brothers and sisters is intimately linked to the fact that we haven't light. And what we need again and again and again is light. We need light from God to show us who God is. We need light from God to show us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we need light from God to show us what we are and how we save sinners, as wretched as we are. Of course, the first words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures are, "Let there be light." In fact, in the original it says, "Light be," and "light was." It's a glorious description of our Lord Jesus Christ as a sovereign. And we'll look at it more a little bit later on, but that light is not the created light, the sun and the moon and the stars weren't made until the fourth day. This is the light of the revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And if you turn with me in Revelation to Revelation chapter 21, it's a glorious description of the new creation. It's a glorious description of the church of God gathered as a city to her husband. In verse 22 of Revelation 21, "And I saw no temple therein." There's no temple in this city, "for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth," anything that comes from darkness, anything that creates darkness, "anything that defileth, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." I love to think, isn't it, we are gathered to proclaim to each other the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God who is the light of the new creation. The Lamb of God who is the light of the new creation in each of us when we are created, when we are made a new creation through God taking his word and his spirit and causing there to be a creation in us that didn't exist before. And it's all about the light of the Lamb, isn't it? It's seeing the Lamb. It's seeing the Lamb. And so the beginning of the Bible begins, doesn't it, "In the beginning God." And the first words of God that we hear spoken are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let there be light." In the new creation, the Lamb will be the light of all of our lives forever and ever. But also in the rest of the Scriptures, they are the bookends of the Scriptures in a sense. The rest of the Scriptures are all about the Lamb. The Lamb and the light of the Lamb. That was the light that shone in the darkness of Isaiah chapter 9 in those dark, dark days of Israel, when Israel, Judah, because of its wickedness and its rebellion against God and his people, was plunged into deep darkness, and that darkness meant that they were cast away and that land became desolate for those 70 promised years. It is the light. It is the light. In all those intervening years, in every picture throughout all of the Scriptures, we have this picture of light coming into the darkness. The Lamb coming into the darkness. The Lamb and the light go as one. If you have light from God, it'll be a light that shines on the Lamb. And if you see the Lamb, you'll see the Lamb because light from God has shone upon you. I love what Job says in Job 29:3, only by his light, only by his light do we walk through the darkness. Only by his light do we walk through the darkness. Not by our wisdom and not by our works and not by our worth. We walk only by his light. Our God is faithful. We read that in Isaiah chapter 9. He's faithful and he'll do it. He'll perform what he's promised to perform. Our God is faithful even in the darkness when we can't see him, even when he seems to be clouded. He's faithful all the time. He who keeps Israel, he who keeps the church, neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he leads them all the night with the light of fire. He says, I will bring, Isaiah 42:6, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them. We walk through the darkness. We walk through the darkness. For those of us who have seen the light, we spend so much time aware of the fact of its absence. Is that true for you? If you've seen the light, you grieve for the light to have gone, the light of his countenance, the light of that peace. One of my favourite passages in the scriptures, and they're growing and growing as I get older, and I'm more in need of reading them again and again and again, but in Isaiah chapter 50 is a great description of that walk that all of God's people have. It says, Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord? He's speaking of an individual in a crowd that obeyeth the voice of his servant. The servant, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The next chapters will explain that in great clarity. That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. That means no shining light, no bright light to shine. And then it says, if you're walking that way, if the bright, shining light has gone, and you find yourself and feel yourself in darkness, listen to what God says. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust in all the very character of our God as revealed in the scriptures and stay upon his God. And then the description of those who are in darkness. The people that are in darkness, Nicodemus and the Jews of that day were in great, great darkness, and they thought they were walking in light and yet they were walking in darkness. Listen to what God says, Isaiah 50:11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass, surround yourself with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. And in the sparks that you have kindled, this you shall have at mine hand, says God. You shall lie down in sorrow. We trust. We walk in this darkness and we trust. We trust our great God. Again and again, he promises to be faithful. He promises to be the one that illuminates our path, that we can walk in his ways and walk with him. Even when we can't see him, even when we can't feel that he's around, the Lord enlightens our darkness. We're going to sing a couple of carols next, Norm, if you were right to do that. Have you given out the sheets? Yeah. So I trust that in this season, when people are talking about lights and they're lighting lights, we'll actually get to enjoy the light of heaven. We might get to appreciate the wonder of that light of our great God. Thanks. Which one would you like to do? Oh, just whichever one you choose, Norm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.